Let me give you one example of a couple of examples of some of the most intense spiritual warfare that I've ever experienced. One time my wife and I were on vacation visiting some friends many years ago over in Hawaii. And it was many years ago because there was a radio station that asked me to, in Hawaii, that asked me to do an interview on my first book, Christians in the Wake of the Sexual Revolution, which came out in 85. So this was probably 85 or 86. So Nancy and I drive up to the station. I've done radio interviews, and I was kind of assuming it's probably a Christian station. If it's a secular station, that's fine. But I drive up to the station, and Nancy and I are sitting in the parking lot, and we're both feeling really strange. Like something's wrong here. There was like a spirit of darkness, but it's just a building. And it wasn't like the building, you know, there wasn't like pentagrams or some kind of, you know, it was just a building. We go up, we knock on the door, they open the door, and we walk in, and both of us, it took our breath away. It was evil. We walk in, and we see on the walls paintings of different gurus and different people in lotus position, you know, so you had Buddhistic, Hinduistic, a bunch of Baha'i stuff, and I don't know if you're familiar with Baha'i, but it's this syncretistic, all religions are good, and there's good in everything, and all these roads lead to heaven. But it blew up. Before we knew that's what the place was, we already knew it was evil. And then now we're looking around, we're realizing why. I go in there and I have two hosts and they're interviewing me and I'm asking Nancy to pray. I'm literally shaking because the evil was so palpable, the demonic presence. And here they are interviewing me. And so they start going, okay, your book, Christians in the Wake of the Sexual Revolution. I'm thinking, why did you even invite me in this? I mean, this book just quotes from the Bible and all this kind of stuff. Of course, you know, we believe that all roads go to heaven. They just came right out and said it. And so this is a Christian book, and we're fine with Christians as well as with Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims and, you know, all of this kind of stuff. And I just, and it was, fortunately, it was live radio. The reason I say fortunate is because if it's taped, they're just not going to play what I feel like I need to say. But it's too late. It's live, you know, and so this is what we're doing. I say, well, actually, as a Christian, I believe the words of Jesus. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other under heaven, any name where other than Jesus, whereby we must be saved. Romans 10:9-10, you know, all of these passages of Scripture, and just kept hitting home the exclusive nature of Jesus, the Son of God. If you get it right about Jesus, you can afford to get some things wrong. If you get it wrong about Jesus, in the end, it doesn't matter much what else you got right. You know, just telling you. So God is just giving me things and helping me through, you know, and giving me a boldness to address this. And when Nancy and I walked away, we went out of that parking lot, it was like we felt like we'd been to hell and back. It happened again when we were visiting our good friends who some of you know, Pat and Raquel Thurman in Egypt. And Nancy and I, one night, and this was after we'd gotten over jet lag, could not sleep. We could not sleep. And then in the middle of the night came the call to prayer, which does every night, you know, the multiple calls to prayer. But right in the middle of the night, the call to prayer to Allah. And over the loudspeaker systems, which they've got all over the places, is this voice. Now, we had heard the voice in the other nights, and it's never comfortable to hear this voice. That particular night, it was like the voice of Satan. It was a demon speaking over the people. I don't know how to describe it, but again, Nancy and I are just, you know, we're checking on the kids. They're asleep, but our kids were just, Karina turns 9 on that trip, and Angela was just 6, and, you know, we're just afraid for their safety. You know, this is going through your mind. So the next morning, at breakfast, and again, we'd been there probably a week already, the Thurmans say to us, "I'll bet you couldn't sleep last night, could you?" And we said, "Well, how did you know? Did we? Because we didn't think we were making noise." They said, "We couldn't either. Well, there's nights here in Egypt where no Christian can sleep." And so they had the same experience, even though it was exactly the same that was happening every other night. Call to prayer in the middle of the night. But that particular night, there have been several other experiences like that as well. But, you know, my life has not been full of lots of obviously demonic, oppressive, negative situations. I think other times Satan is so subtle the way he deals with us. And I think the thing, when I think of that in John, well, this is interesting. My mind just went to John chapter 8, and I was in John chapter 9, so I'm turning back one page. And here it is. It's when Jesus says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire." He was, and he's talking to religious people. He's telling them they belong to the devil. "He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And then because I speak the truth, you don't believe me." Isn't that an interesting statement? "Because I speak the truth, you don't believe me." It's like, well, if I was lying, you probably would believe me. Well, it's like you believe the devil and he's lying. Do you look in our culture, so many things that we believe, even sometimes as Christians. But, and then when God says something that's true, then people are skeptics about it. And I think the truth is that we think that we're a bunch of, you know, like people will dismiss Christians as being gullible. They believe the Bible. I mean, that's so gullible to believe the Word of God. Well, actually, when you come to faith in Christ, as I did when I was a teenager, you come to believe what is true, and you now become skeptical about all the things you were gullible about before. And I think that's what we need, is more healthy skepticism. I was reading this morning in 1 John 4, "Test the spirits to see whether they be of God." In order to do that, you've got to know the Word of God.